This episode is brought to you by
Mondas Industries.
Alex.
Matthew.
Are you tired of your current physical body?
Do I feel tired or am I sick of it?
Are you
the
sick of it?
The answer to both is yes.
How would you like a metal body that you can go out to space with and we just replace you with robotic parts?
You are reading my mind.
So today's sponsors are Mondas Industries. They specialize in making people live forever by getting rid of all their humanity.
Oh.
So have you ever thought, I'm really tired of being annoyed with people, or just I don't like people?
Yes.
And you want all those emotions to go?
Yes.
They're willing to give you an upgrade.
Oh.
I did that in inverted commas.
Oh.
And you'll get a free laser gun. How good is
that? Oh.
It's like a big flashlight.
Okay.
But
can I use it like a flashlight?
I think it kills anything you flashlight it at.
Oh.
But that's also a bonus.
Oh.
Because not only does it light the area up, it gets rid of anything that could be annoying you there.
Oh.
So if you go to their Twitter page and use the hashtag #UpgradeTheFools, then they'll give you a free upgrade.
Is this like those Cybermen we just watched?
No. These guys aren't Cybermen. They don't call themselves Cybermen. They call themselves Cybermasters. So, or Cybus Industries.
This sounds...
You go with Cybus Industries.
Why are they changing their name?
Because it's referencing things you haven't seen yet.
This is trustworthy.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to The Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm The Fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm The Fool, Alex Cameron.
I love these episodes. I didn't take lots of notes, to be honest, but I have also seen these episodes a lot.
Right.
So it's all in my head.
Right.
Go on, ask me the name of a character.
Cyberman 4.
Was it... Crane?
That was the second.
No, I can't remember.
I'm just making it up.
Eventually they don't have names anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or they have designations.
They never said their names.
I am designated cyber leader. That kind of thing happens a lot.
I will be completely honest with you. I thought these episodes were fine.
I hate you.
I didn't think they were bad. I thought they were much better than a lot of the stuff we've seen recently. But I think last week's story arc was more entertaining for me. I know an important thing happens, but in terms of the story...
No.
Okay.
No, the story's great.
It is good. I really liked it.
And I think it's very reminiscent of like foreshadowing of the way the stories are structured now.
Okay.
Doctor turns up. No one believes what he has the answers to everything. He eventually is right. So they're like, okay, fine, we'll let him help.
Yeah, but that's already happened a lot.
Yeah, but this was done better.
Probably. Than a lot of the recent stuff, yes.
And I think the companions generally did good things.
Agreed.
And weren't just like, there.
Apparently Polly makes good coffee.
She does, but she was also just, I think she's just trying to hang around, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But we're getting too far ahead of ourselves.
As we do.
I'm going to say a thing.
Say a thing.
So, if you look in the episode description... I'm going to start putting time codes in there so you can skip through the bits that you don't want to listen to.
Yes.
Because we do ramble.
Yes.
And sometimes we talk about Star Wars just for no reason.
Well, because we have such passionate opinions about it, good and bad. But it's because the last two episodes I put in a little, hello there.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
And no one likes that, apparently, so...
I mean, I don't like it.
Yeah, but you're the only one who listens to the show. So...
It does get more plays than just me.
I'm just kidding.
Do you want me to look it up?
No.
I'll look it up after.
Anyway, I won't be doing that anymore. You'll just have to check the description. Is it Doctor Who?
Who?
Yes, it's a big poster of Doctor Who that I've seen many times in your house.
Oh.
Just because it's slightly angled away from me doesn't mean I don't know what it is.
No, no. I'm going to use some magic and I change it into a non-Doctor Who poster. You ready?
Oh, it's going to regenerate. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. Oh, look.
It's a Star War.
It's a Star War. Actually, can I tell you, say two things? Thing one.
Thing one.
So, first of all, Alex.
Yes, Matthew.
The thing, Alex is correct, this is a Doctor Who thing. It's a big, old-school style, like...
comic book cover-type poster of a Doctor Who episode.
That's what I'd call it.
Very cool. It's got a picture of the Dalek. It's got the police box. It says, lost in time and space.
I think it was a Christmas present from my brother or sister or both. So if any other of them are listening, and you're the one that got it for me, thank you. It used to be hung up in my old place, but I haven't found a place to put it up just yet. So it sits in here while we record these episodes.
Ooh.
Against a mattress.
That's the easiest round of this game we've ever done. Now it's time for Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Current episode. Oh, we'll do that this first. You ready? Because I have an idea.
Go.
I know we talked about the current episode last week, but I've watched it 3 more times since then.
Wow.
So, first of all, I still love it.
Yeah, I would hope so. Otherwise, you're just punishing yourself.
Because I was just looking at, like, feedback from other people. Because I like to know what other people think.
And did they say things and you were like, I better check that out?
Most of the things were, like, pretty good. But a lot of the feedback is, it's cluttered. Like, there's just a lot happening.
Right.
And I don't dispute that. But...
it's cluttered with good things.
It's also supposed to be an episode about 100 years of the BBC.
Mm.
So you got to fit in, like, 59 years of Doctor Who into an episode.
Is it about 100 years of the BBC or 59 years of Doctor Who?
Well, next year's the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. So this is supposed to... I think it's supposed to, like, build up to that.
Okay.
So there's a lot to build on.
Yes.
So it was really good.
Tell me the new things you read and or realised while watching the show 3 more times.
Well, I realised that continuity-wise, some of the things don't make sense. Like the fact that Ace... I know last week we talked about like the timeline, like when these things occurred. So if the audio stuff is taken into account...
As canon,
which it kind of is, because it's referenced sometimes.
You keep telling me it always is.
Well, I think it is, unless a TV show directly, like, contradicts something.
Okay.
But I also think there's so much stuff that happens with timelines and stuff that something might happen in the audio play, and something else just kind of replaces it.
In a different timeline.
Yeah.
Multiple worlds theory, so, all that.
So Ace has met the Doctor again before this. The seventh one, her doctor. So I thought it was interesting because I remember listening to that episode because it's called Dark Universe. And it's about this, my favourite villain in the audio plays, which I know we've talked about before, which is the 11.
Mm-hmm.
And the seventh doctor versus the 11, and then the 11 has like gone nuts. And the seventh doctor's like, I need Ace because she's like, she'll be good for this mission. And Ace is like, where have you been? I haven't seen you forever. And he's like, nah, come on, let's go, let's have a good time. So, it's happened a few times because she also meets him again for what seems to be a long break when he's the 10th Doctor. So some of it's like, oh yeah. But I think if you were solely watching the TV show, you wouldn't be listening to all of that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to kind of ignore that. Because I think it also contradicts... So she mentions to... the seventh doctor that she's sorry for how that they parted,
mm-hmm.
which is not something that's ever seen on screen. So we don't really know how they separated, except it is in the audio plays.
And it makes sense that she would say that?
I don't know if it makes sense if she would apologize. He does something like he's a bit, what would you call it?
The doctor.
Yeah. He's like, he's got his plan to solve a problem, but he doesn't always share that. So he kind of did something that was a bit underhanded. And so she was like, I'm out of here. So I don't know if he did something that bad. But they kind of forgive each other. And Tegan, as well, she's met the Doctor a few times. And yet, during that whole Centenary special, she seems outraged that she hasn't seen him for so long. Seen her for so long. So yeah. But it's still good. And I still give it 13.
I have a special segment. Alex's brief spoiler-free review of a random memory I have of seeing a random Doctor Who scene.
Oh.
This is where I get a flashback to something I remember seeing randomly on the TV, and if I explain it to you, you might go, I know exactly what story that's from.
Yes.
Okay, this is the only thing I remember.
Is this going to be a recurring segment, or is this just...
Well, only if I get more flat, just when it happens.
Okay.
I saw a scene where it was Matt Smith as the Doctor.
Bowtie Boy.
Bowtie Boy, as opposed to Flute Boy coming up shortly. Recorder,
continue.
Yeah, makes it so much better.
That recorder made a comeback in the Centauri special, by the way.
Well, at least I won't have to see it for about 1,000 years.
What's the scene?
It's Matt Smith as the Doctor, and he was confronting whoever was the enemy of that episode.
Is this a giant eyeball?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I think it was a person or something. And they were like, ha ha, I've got you. And then he says, is it actually me? And then suddenly...
his head spins around.
No.
Okay, continue.
You seem excited for things I've never seen. It zooms in and you realize there's a tiny Matt Smith controlling this massive body of Matt Smith.
Yeah, it's a selector.
Is that the same thing? Same episode?
No, it's not.
Oh. You know that episode from me just saying that one
thing. His head's going to spin around. But that test selector thing, he's like, look into my eye.
Yes, that's what it was.
He's not saying it to a bad guy. He's saying it to the woman he loves.
Oh.
Oh, that happens. That does start to happen.
So there you go. That was my review of it. And I thought it was fine out of 10. I didn't know the context of any of it. I just remember seeing a little Matt Smith in a big Matt Smith. Out of context, that sounds weird. I just mean he was in his brain controlling him like it was like... I remember seeing with levers and things.
I think he just uses his screwdriver.
Oh, is that what it was? I didn't know that what that was at the time.
And I think...
I've just realised we have not seen the Doctor in First Doctor episodes that we're watching use the screwdriver for a very long time. He has already used it in the past, in like season 2 for something, didn't he?
I think we don't see it. I think it's in
Am I just imagining it? Oh, okay.
But I'll look it up.
I'm probably wrong.
But
I just suddenly realised we haven't seen it yet.
To do with... the kissing, like the fact that he likes women.
I don't remember seeing him kiss anybody.
I mean, so the person he's talking to in that scene is a character that he is in love with.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the First Doctor just kissing Polly or something.
No, no. No. But one of the old Doctors in like a special, he sees his future self kissing someone.
Okay.
And he's like, there seems to be an awful lot of kissing. And another future Doctor's like, yeah, it does start to happen.
Oh, okay.
But not for this one. Or the next one. Or the one after that. Or the one after that, though I think she's like, yeah, I like the scarf. And then the one after that, he's younger and everyone seems to like him, but I think he's all about the cricket and the salary. And then the next one, his coat's too colourful and no one likes that. And the one after that, he's a bit eccentric. But then the one out of that looks dreamy.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That's been our review of Doctor Who, all the Doctors.
Up to number 8. If you wanted to keep going. The one after that, he's like rugged leather jacket. And you're like, ooh, he's a cool guy now. And then the one after that, he's got a nice pinstripe suit. And you're like, do you wear that suit all the time? And if you do, that's cool with me. And then the one after that has a bow tie occasionally, a fez, which is fine as well. Well, after that's a bit older, but he's got a nice velvet jacket. It's a really good jacket. It's one of my faves. And then the one after that is a woman, and she's got, like, a nice, I love her jacket. And then in the later season, there was an episode where her jacket got, like, the colours kind of inverted because she was, like, in a flashback or a flash sideways or a flashing somewhere. And she had this awesome, like, black trench coat with, like, blue, like, really light blue... like, on the inside, and I want that.
The Doctor or the jacket?
And then she turned into the 10th guy again, but he was older, and we were all like, why?
So that's been our review of Doctor Who. Thank you.
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Audio play?
All right, so I listened to this one. Doctor Who, Short Trips, The Shattered Hourglass. Okay, so this is set... at the very end of David Tennant, 10th Doctor's life. So he makes a few mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about him finding out that someone else is making mistakes. And he's like, you shouldn't be doing that. And they're like, you can't talk, you just did a thing. You know what I mean? So he figures out there's this group called the Time Agency, and they basically just remove a universe from existence. Or not a universe, like a galaxy from existence. Because they're like, these people are going to commit a crime. Because we're the Time Agency, so we kind of know what's coming. And the Doctor's like, you can't do that. And they're like, well, we'll remove you from existence. And he's like, you go for it. What actually happens is that galaxy, that whatever area, got removed from existence. And when they remove the Doctor from existence, I think he just ends up there.
Oh.
And he brings it back.
The whole galaxy.
Yeah, and they're just like... And the reason why I like the episodes like this is because he's still in that mode where he's like, he's so overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
So he just walks in and he's like, I am going to stop this. And like, you have no way of stopping us. And he's like, that doesn't matter. This is going to happen. And it's just an episode of him being arrogant, really. He does save the day, but his character matches his, like, that point in time.
Right.
So I liked it.
Was it all, like, was it one of the audio plays where it's just one person speaking, or was it a full cast of people?
No, it's just one person speaking. It's narrated, so it's not a character even.
So it's not even the Tenth Doctor involved?
No, narrated by Niamh McIntosh.
Okay.
So she is an actress who is on Doctor Who, that we haven't met yet, but she just narrated that.
Wow.
So she does the voices and everything, but you're like, that's just the one person.
What do you rate it out of? We're still sticking with 13 for now, aren't we?
I think so.
Until we know.
I mean, Russell T. Davies came out and he was like, it's definitely 14. In fact, I want to talk about Russell T. Davies.
So I called that. I said.
He said it's 14, but I don't trust him.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to do a thing.
A tricky.
Do you want to do 14?
No, let's wait until we know. Out of 13.
10. Nint. That's the name of the actor. And out of 13, I also give it 10.
Okay. Wow, what a double twist.
So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like these short trips because they kind of do... It's like not too long. It's like long enough if I go for a walk. You know, I think
you get a whole story.
Yeah, I think it's like 40 minutes.
Yeah, 35 just there.
There you go. Sweet.
And all of these can be found at bigfinish.com.
And I got it on special. I don't know if it still is on special, but... That 35 minutes, $1.50. Australian dollars.
Ooh.
So pretty good.
Pretty good.
But all the short trips are normally about $3 each. They're pretty good just like, if you're just like, oh, I just wanted a quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did purchase, while we're here, there's new Doctor Who, the 8th Doctor Adventures. Okay, so I got that. And I got the Master Nemesis Express. So I'm going to be listening to those... on the holidays that I have because of long service leave.
Oh, so wait with bated breath, people, until December sometime?
They're long. So they're box sets.
Oh.
So the Master's like, it's like 4 or 5 hours of him being like, I'm evil.
Hurrah.
Yeah, he does say hurrah. Actually, he just says things like, I always dress for the occasion. Or he says things
like... And he's
like,
wearing a dress and it's like a pun.
He's got a very... He's the only American Master, that one. And then his next thing, one of his future incarnations is loves his accent, but they've lost it by that point. So they're always like, can you say this? I just want to hear you say it.
Okay, so the Master can regenerate into a different...
Yeah, just like the Doctor. The same
no, species. No, but into a different nationality.
The Doctor can too.
Have we seen that yet? Or can you not tell me because it spoils it? None of the official ones that I know of are not British.
I think all of the ones are British.
Like proper ones. I know
British, there's probably not British, like some Scottish too. Like United Kingdom.
So when are we going to get an Australian Doctor?
Never. I hope we never get that. Can you imagine having to listen to that accent?
Atrocious.
Constantly. What if Hugh Jackman was a Doctor? What if... Who else could there be?
We do have other actors, right?
We do have Australian
actors. Margot Robbie. I mean, now we know that they can be female.
Margot Robbie, I reckon, would be a good Doctor.
Well, she's a good actress.
Yes. All right, the guy that played Carl on Neighbours. He'd be a good Doctor.
Who's he? I don't even
or
know.
Or Susan.
Is that one of the older people?
Yeah. You know, the guy that's been on it forever.
What about Carl Stefanovic?
Yes. Has he got a brother?
Yes, a younger brother who's also a reporter and is also sometimes
he could be the companion. He could be the master.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. When are they going to do a Doctor Who where he's like a super action star? Like, who's that British...
The Third Doctor.
No, okay, but what I'm talking about is the bald British guy who's in all the action films. Statham. Imagine if the Just Doctor was Jason Statham.
Disney Plus now, they could get some...
Of course they could. That's why they love Hugh Jackman. Because he'll be the Wolverine Doctor.
Now, this brings us to a conversation I want to have.
I can't believe this somehow segued into something else.
Yeah, so Russell T. Davies was talking about how excited he is about coming back to Doctor Who. So, you don't know who Russell T. Davies is, do you?
No, why would I?
He's the head writer. He was the head writer of Doctor Who when it came back in 2005.
Okay. I need you to understand, I'm up to season 4, so...
So... Listen.
I'm about 50 years behind.
He was like the main story writer from 2005 to 2010. And he's coming back next year to be head writer for the new Doctor.
Ooh.
So for 14th, David Tennant, and then the guy after. And my guess is the 15th at this stage.
That's kind of weird. Imagine being told you're going to be the Doctor and you're like, that's sick. And then they just like...
You just have to wait.
Yeah. You know that guy that everyone loves? We're going to put him in for a little bit so people wished it was still him and then change it to you.
And then you have to fill his shoes.
Yeah. For the second. Literally two lots of his shoes.
So he... When he started Doctor Who in 2005 and then with Christopher Eccleston, and when we get to Christopher Eccleston, there's so much trivia around their relationship, those two.
Oh,
but
spicy.
Pretty spicy. Christopher Eccleston eventually becomes David Tennant. And Russell T. Davies branches out the shows. So he has the main like Doctor Who family show. And then he has the Sarah Jane Adventures, which is a spin-off for kids. And Torchwood, which is a spin-off for like adults.
The cool kids.
You know what I mean?
A wink, wink.
If you think of... But the Doctor sometimes appears in Sarah Jane Adventures, but he never appears in Torchwood. Because it's quite adult. And I can't see the Doctor doing that. I can't see Matt Smith popping up to be like, yeah, let's shoot this alien to pieces. That kind of thing. There's those three shows. And then when he left Doctor Who, Sarah Jane Adventures actually just kept going. And so did Torchwood. Up until a point. So eventually Torchwood just kind of... I think Torchwood was the first one to fall away. Like, it turned into, like, a mini-series and then just kind of, like, died off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into Watery Plays. And the Sarah Jane Adventures kept going until Elizabeth Sladen, who plays Sarah Jane, passed away.
Oh.
So there was a big... That was really sad. I was crying.
Do they end the shows properly?
They do. Like, there was obviously... They obviously wanted it to keep going.
So it's not like a full final, like...
The last season was half as long as the rest.
Oh.
But they did a nice little, like, epilogue and all that kind of stuff to kind of...
But I mean, for both shows, do they both end properly?
Torchwood ends openly.
Okay.
So it's just like, we could continue this. And a lot of those characters from that show have still popped back into mainstream Doctor Who. Over the years.
See, if Doctor Who can have a comeback, maybe that show can at some point.
Well, they're thinking now that Russell T. Davies is back, he might want to do it.
There you go.
Because when it was the 12th Doctor and Stephen Moffat was in charge, he also had a spin-off called Class, which was like kids at school solving alien mysteries and stuff, which was kind of cool, but it wasn't really popular enough. Whereas Sarah Jane Adventures was immensely popular. Like, it was so popular. So kids loved it. And Russell T. Davies said, maybe it's a good thing we're at Disney, because Disney does...
Kids stuff.
They do kids stuff, but they also do lots of spin-off media. So he was like, it's a good opportunity to do maybe something that you wouldn't normally do. Like, you could just do a one-shot, you know, like...
One story.
Yeah, he's like, you could do a one-shot where you do bring back, like, a Paul McGann 8th Doctor... And he does have an adventure. Because he only got to do the TV movie. So he's like, maybe you do like another hour special of him on an adventure.
Right.
Maybe you like keep checking back in with former companions and they're doing adventures. And I think he's excited because, you know, you might make something on a lower budget and put it on streaming, but give it like an interesting enough story. Like you got the money in the right place.
Yeah.
Without going too bananas.
Yes.
So I think he's keen for that kind of stuff.
So what you're saying is when we get to the Russell T. Davies part of...
The second part two. Part one, even.
We're going to have a lot of stuff to watch and review because I assume we're doing all the canon, so we're going to do all the shows.
Yeah, do we have to do K-9 and Company?
Is it part of Doctor Who?
It is, yeah.
How many episodes is it?
One pilot.
We'll be fine. We can do one pilot. That would probably be a fun episode.
Yeah, it's just so boring. Well, but it's good we'll watch
it. We have dealt with B-Planet.
B-Planet was fine. It was the gunfighters. That was the worst one.
Actually, that was pretty... Well, I don't know if it was the worst one, but it was pretty bad. It was. I gave it a two.
You gave it a three. I gave it a two.
Oh. I will tell you something, though, and I know it's weird because...
Hang on, I'm going to write this down. Okay.
Jeez. So spicy today. I know we're in season four now.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound really offensive, but as a show is on for longer, it gets better, right?
Yeah. It does get better.
I know it will.
Yeah.
But I still think the seasons where it was the original cast are the best I've seen of the show. Those storylines were better than a lot of the stuff we've seen. Not this one from today, but a lot of season three stuff and, you know.
I think there was a dip. And that's why they went, let's get rid of Dodo and Steven.
Make them go the way of the Dodo.
And then, like, fresh couple, go.
Go.
Okay, so we missed an episode.
Thanks,
so
BBC/Disney+.
Before we get to today's episode. Oh, we missed the smugglers. So, the Doctor is furious.
Why?
Because Ben and Polly are on his TARDIS. They got hopped
in.
Oh,
we didn't even get to see any of that.
So, they got into the TARDIS and they're like, this place is bigger on the inside. And he was like, yeah, and I'm flying. So, he took off with them inside the TARDIS.
Without meaning to.
Well,
Doesn't he normally like having companions?
Not these two. Have you met them?
No, but I just...
I love them.
I love how you to immediately qualify what you said. But my point is, would he have really been with nobody? Because I have not seen that yet.
Oh, we do see that.
Okay.
We get to that point with Tom Baker.
So that's not too far away.
That's the fourth Doctor. Yeah, I guess it's...
I mean, in comparison to all the stuff we were talking about...
Compared to the 14th Doctor.
Which was in the next century.
Yes. They land in 17th century Cornwall.
Another Earth storyline that we miss.
And they meet pirate Samuel Pike.
Okay. You're looking at me like I should know what that is.
Pike. I think he is famous.
I believe you.
But he's looking for some treasure. And there's a riddle to help them lead to the treasure. And the Doctor figures it out. And he says, you're going to tell me what the thing means. And the Doctor's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill your friends. And the Doctor's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And then they go get the treasure because the Doctor leads them to it. But then the militia turn up and kills Pike and half of his men and arrests the rest of them. And while that's all happening, the Doctor and his companions sneak into the TARDIS and fly away.
That actually sounds like a great story that we missed. It actually sounds really good.
So, I don't know if I have a lot of trivia about the smugglers. I'll just quickly have a look.
Do it.
No episodes of this four-part story exist.
Mm-hmm.
Telesnaps do exist, though. So, like, pictures and all that. This is the only televised Doctor Who story to have no incidental music whatsoever. So there's another...
It's the only one ever. Did they just say it's the only one ever? Okay, now listen. Say the thing again, I missed it.
He said there's no incidental music.
The only one, or it just says there is none.
This is the only televised Doctor Who story to have no incidental music.
That's so weird. So, okay, another first.
Yeah.
Another first missed by the BBC.
Annika Wills, who plays Polly, named this as her... And Michael Craze, who plays Ben, favourite story.
Of course.
Partly thanks to the extended location shooting in Cornwall.
And can I just say, you know who else had a favourite storyline that we never saw? Our great love.
Barbara.
Barbara. She loved the Marco Polo one. I remember you telling me.
Yeah, she did. She did.
So we all the favourites we missed. Thanks, BBC.
But Annika Wills said that she thought it was a super story.
Oh.
As she got to wear breeches.
Okay. What a great reason to love a piece of media.
Michael Craze fell through a trapdoor which had not been properly secured, but fortunately suffered only a minor injury. Okay, Julia Smith. So this is a director. So she is commenting on the acting skills of one William Hartnell. Ready?
Go on.
William Hartnell was remarkable. As a director, you work out actors' moves before going into rehearsal in order to get a variety of shots. And I remember asking William Hartnell to cross to the TARDIS and press a particular button, and he went raving mad. He said, "I can't. If I do that, this will happen to the TARDIS, and that will happen to the TARDIS." He gave me a quarter of an hour's dissertation of why he couldn't press that button. I stood there very young and very nervous and took this broadside about the insanity of women drivers almost. It was obviously so real to him. He had committed himself to the character and equated himself with all the machinery, which in those days was very much simpler than it is now.
That's pretty cool.
And I remember watching the documentary, the dramatized documentary, the thing where we will watch.
Yeah.
We might watch next.
I think we said once the Doctor changes.
And he has changed.
So he's a method actor.
Once he'd worked out what the buttons on the TARDIS were supposed to do, because obviously they don't really do those things, he was like, if I press, like he'd done this to previous directors, and being like, if I push this thing, the kids at home, they'll know that this is actually for this other thing. So it's like he knew how it's supposed to work.
That's cool.
So he seems to be quite okay for this one, but his health... So the Smugglers, this is a fun fact.
So fun.
It was made at the same time as season 3, but it was saved to be the start of season 4.
Right.
So he was still quite well. It's kind of between seasons where his health starts to really deteriorate.
Okay.
So they knew he was probably going to be on his way out. In fact, the plan was originally, you remember the episode we didn't see the Celestial Toymaker?
Mm-hmm.
That he might leave in that episode. But that ultimately didn't happen.
Okay, so he for a long time, they're like, ooh.
Yeah. So the plan, I think, in the Celestial Toymaker, and this is just from memory, the Celestial Toymaker would make him change his appearance. Because remember, they go to a different reality.
Yeah.
And so it was going to be once he comes back, he'd just be different.
Right.
As opposed to anything to do with his physiology, I guess.
Which is, so it's a good thing that they waited.
Yes.
Because they can make it a plot point for the show that works.
Yes. I hold this story, like, it has a particular place in my heart. And I know you're going to say that it's not, like, an amazingly different story.
I thought it was good. I'm not saying it was bad.
No, but you're not going to give it, like, a 13, right?
Not even close.
But I think this story is good because it's, like a classic Doctor Who story, as in, like, a Doctor Who structure. And it's another one of those times where it shifts genres a little bit. And it's, like, pure serious Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like, there's no mucking about, and he's not being funny. And he knows the stakes of what's happening. And it's, like, he's just focused in on it. And so I always like that because, you know, there's some episodes where he's, like, a bit like, ooh, and, like, joking and stuff. But he got into that space station in this one. And then I think he just knew that things were going to go bad.
Mm.
So there was no, like, mucking about. And I think the acting of the companions is really good. Like, Polly's really good throughout it.
Yep.
She has a really good back and forth with the Cyberman.
Yes.
Where she's like, what do you mean you don't have emotions? And then, like, she's obviously just asking the questions so that we understand what's going on. But I just think those deliveries are really good.
Yes.
And William Hartnell has a line where he's like, have you no emotions, sir? Like, he also gets involved, and it's just like, this is good acting.
Right.
So I like all of that. And it foreshadows, like, things that even happen now. And that is, like, the Doctor turn up in a place where, like, we don't really know why they've arrived at the South Pole, but they're there, and something's gone wrong, and people are like, who's this random stranger who's here to help us? We can't let him help us, we don't know who he is. And then suddenly everyone's like, he might actually know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he proves that he does know what's going on.
Yeah, so I always like that, because that's just how it would be, right? Like, if you were in a crisis, and a stranger rocked up, and they're like, I can fix this crisis, you'd be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I like all of that. So how does this episode start?
It starts with us seeing a rocket being launched into space.
Yeah. Now, there is one thing that confuses me.
Yeah.
So later on, maybe we'll get to it, but a second rocket goes up into space later on, and I never understood why. I mean, I understood why, but it seemed to happen very quickly. Like, this was filmed in 1969 or whatever, but set in 1986. So I have a feeling that they had a view that by 1986, you could just shoot a rocket up.
Just, like, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to head up to the moon. You know,
there's some
I mean?
Burgers up there. Do you want anything?
Yeah, that's right. There's a Macca's on the moon.
Yeah.
So I just think that kind of pulled me out of reality for a minute. But it was really good. The Doctor, Ben and Polly materialize outside the underground bunker of Snowcap and are soon spotted by men because they look directly into the periscope. That's fine. Now, one of the men, I was like, I mean, it's a bit funny, but it's also like, you know, where they're like, there's people out there, and he's like, yeah, sure. And then the guy's like, there's a woman out there, and he's like, a woman?
And he was also Italian, so he's like,
oh, mommy. I think he says it kind of like that.
He does. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's a particularly sexist thing. It's just showing what a character is like.
Yes.
But you did it make you uncomfortable?
No, I just was like, chuckle. It was sensible, a sensible chuckle for the time.
Yeah, for that time. That could have been spicy for that time.
Context chuckle.
He did also have a whole bunch of, like, pictures next to his bunk bed of, like, chicks in bikinis and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Snowcap, there's a great character called General Cutler, and I liked every time he spoke. Because he had, like, I think sometimes when British people write American characters, it's like, they're so American.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I'm in charge here, and no one else has, like, an opinion. So, not that I think that's how Americans are, but it's like a hyper-stereotyped version of an American.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like, I'm a patriot, and I'll defend everything. Blow them up. Weapons are the answer, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
an American.
So, they get caught.
Yes.
And Cutler's like, General Cutler, that's the American general who's in charge of Snowcap. He's like, I don't have time for this. Take them over there. So they're over there, and the Doctor's like, I know what's going to happen. So he's obviously seen something, and he's like, there's a problem.
Because during this time, the rocket that was shot up from earlier,
yeah,
there's two guys in space. They have to bring them back down, but they're struggling and they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But the Doctor knows.
Their coordinates, their positioning keeps changing.
Yeah.
Obviously because something's like pulling them around a bit.
Yeah.
Now, the guys in the spaceship, they seem to figure out that there seems to be a planet between Venus and Earth, is that what they say? Mars and Venus. Which is where we are.
Normally.
Yeah. So there's another problem. They're like, there's another planet here.
Yes.
Now, I thought... So they can't seem to control their ship. And the Doctor is... So Brett Barkley, who's a scientist, finally goes to talk to the Doctor, and he's like, do you have any ideas? And the Doctor shows him a screen of the planet that has appeared.
The 10th planet.
The 10th planet, even though it's technically the 9th planet, because Pluto is a dwarf planet. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was only recently, right?
Yeah, it was like 5-10 years ago or something.
So the next century away from when this happened.
So these guys didn't know that. That's fine. Then.
Then.
The doctor. Yeah, so he shows them the image of the planet. Now, Ben and Polly also have a look, and Polly seems fascinated with Malaysia, and Ben is all like, that's America or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wrong with the image?
So the difference is that the Earth is upside down.
Not like the current Earth.
Yes. Now, I have a question for you as a science teacher.
You go first. I was going to say, Cutler's like, go get that hut. Because they keep calling the doctor's hut as the hut. And when they go outside, we get a nice little video of a ship landing.
Yes.
And that took longer than I thought it should. It was like...
Yeah. It's obviously a small model ship that they have landing. But yeah, it's like Matt's showing with holding
Matt's showing.
Very, very slowly dropping it. It was like, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, it would have been, about
30 maybe seconds. Longer.
And about 3 Cybermen. Yes. Now, this is the first time we see like those cyber people.
Oh, so they're in the future.
Yeah, so they were in the latest episode.
Wow.
So they
do they still look like that?
No, they look much better.
Okay.
But they're really good. They've got really good storylines in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing them for that first time, that first kind of, now obviously they don't look this in the modern Doctor Who. They look like robots.
Yeah.
Properly. But I think it was a good workaround to have them just open their mouths and their mechanical voice just comes out.
Yeah, that's right. So they have a... I mean, I'm not saying it's like this, but it's a similar thing where it's like a robotic voice like a Dalek would have.
Yes.
But the way they talk is they just stand as a person who opens their mouth without moving it to talk. Like a sound wave is just coming through their mouth.
Yeah.
It looks a bit freaky.
It does look freaky. So much so that design sometimes resurfaces.
Right.
So, and that is terrifying. Because they obviously modernize it. So think of that, but like modern Doctor Who. Because that design, like they're meant to be humans. Who have been, like, cyber-converted.
Yes.
They've got cybernetics and stuff.
Yeah.
So they still look... I think you're supposed to still be able to make out those features.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got the cybernetic implants or whatever. So you're like, there's a human in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's freaky. Like, a Dalek, there's, like, a monstrous creature inside it. But the Cyberman, you're like, there's a human being in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it can be... I think they're good and freaky. They kill them and take their hoods.
The Cybermen kill the...
Soldiers that went outside to get their hut.
Yes.
And they take their hoods and use them to sneak into... I don't think they were trying to sneak in, but they didn't want to get immediately noticed.
Yeah, it was just to give them a few extra seconds of maybe not being caught out.
Yes.
Which works.
Now, the Doctor sees them. And I think he knows he's got, like... seconds. So he goes up to the general and he's like, you need to listen to me. And the general's like, whatever. And then he turns to Barclay and he's like, are you going to listen to me? And then it's just too late. And the Cybermen are like, we are here now. And it's like...
Yeah, they're like higher-pitched Daleks.
Yes.
Except the... When they speak, the pitch of their voice goes up and down a little bit more than I think a Daleks does.
Yeah, and... As much as they say they have no emotions, I just love there's moments that they're clearly frustrated.
Yes.
Like, that's still there. Like, the general calling for backup. And the Cyberman's like, you should not have done that.
Or we get told that they don't feel pain, but then when one of them gets killed, they'll often fall over and go,
Yeah. Well, I guess they just get general, normal pain. But dying hurts still, maybe.
Dying hurts still, maybe.
Well, then you have from radiation. That hurts, maybe.
I think it would hurt. Yes. At least eventually.
Yes.
But I know what you're saying. It's almost like they're trying to deny their human emotions, but it's still in there somewhere.
They just might need a few more Upgrades.
Hmm.
At International Space Command, Wigner, who, by the way, I enjoyed his character,
mm-hmm.
of being like, I'm so far away from the trouble, why can't I do anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And said he's because those astronauts are still in space.
Still can't get back to Earth.
Still can't get back to Earth. One of them's called Bluey, aren't they? Bluey and Williams?
I think so.
They're still up in the spaceship and they can't get them down. And there's an interesting back and forth with everyone on the side of men.
Yes.
They're just like, can you let us save them? And they're like, they're going to die. And they're like, can we try? And they're like, yeah, I mean, whatever. So they're very, they don't really care.
No.
They've got a plan. And they're like, their plan is to take all the energy from Earth and use that on Mondas. But if they don't, but their planet's running out of time. Their planet called Mondas is running out of time.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, we should, you know, just wait.
If we wait them out, their planet will die.
Yes. But they also have the plan of, like, invading and destroying Earth.
And taking all energy, basically.
And they're just like, your whatever you do is, it doesn't matter, because we're going to win anyway.
So go for it.
Yeah.
They do also say, you're not going to save him. This will not happen. It's a waste of time.
Which it turns out, that turns out to be
They're correct.
Yeah.
But they still, the humans still obviously want to try and save their people.
Yeah.
I do have a question, though.
Go.
The first three guys that we see, the Cybermen, when they come up and kill the soldiers who are trying to break into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
They do this slow-mo karate chop to kill the guys.
Yeah.
We don't ever see that again because all they do then is use the gun. So why didn't they just use that gun?
Doesn't work in a blizzard.
Except for when it's used against them by the humans later.
The humans figure it out. No, I don't have an answer for you. Maybe it was to be stealthy.
That's a good point.
Because those lasers make loud noise. But I think that was a good, like, for the time, bright light, and then all the smoke would come off the person. They obviously just set that up.
Yeah.
So I think that was good.
It was. It was a lot better than some of the weapons and deaths we've seen.
Yes.
So the Doctor explains that millions of years ago, there was a twin planet.
Yeah.
Now, my question is to you.
Scientifically, is that possible?
Or has there ever been a belief about anything like that?
Oh, I don't know about the belief part.
As in, is this based on anything that was ever believed by anybody?
Ooh.
Because I don't think it is. I mean, obviously, we know that that's not the case. But do people somewhere believe there's a twin Earth planet?
In, like, astronomy, like, twins are generally different. Like, they'll orbit each other.
Okay.
So you get, like, there's, like, twin galaxies, like, twin suns that orbit each other. I shouldn't say twin suns. Our sun is the sun. Twin stars orbit each other.
Right.
Now, whether I actually wouldn't be able to tell you if there's two twin planets somewhere out there in the universe. But theoretically, if you had two planets that they became tidally locked, so they were rotating around each other and always kind of facing each other, that could happen. Anyway, where are we up to?
The Cybermen have just come in and taken control.
Yeah, and then they said, "Don't, you can't save them," and they weren't saved.
So they were right.
Ben tries to shoot one of them and is captured.
Yes.
And he escapes by blinding a Cyberman with a projector.
Yes.
So I thought that was a little weak.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, when you saw him get thrown into the room initially, and there's a projector in there, and he goes, "I'm just in the projector room," you're like, okay, it's going to be something to do with the projector. And then his...
I thought it was interesting when he was like, get in here, and then the door immediately opened. Like, the Cybermen had been waiting to come in anyway.
Oh, a movie. Ah, can't see.
And then he takes him down.
Yeah.
So he took a gun. He took one of those things. And he sneaks back into the main control area and gives it to the general, who just clears clean shot. Just takes them all out.
Yeah.
And this is when we end episode 2.
And as you said, because I made a note of it too, Polly's involved in the discussion. Oh, with
sorry,
the...
I should mention.
Do it.
He saves them all, and then he contacts, like, Central Command, who've told him his son has gone up to save the astronauts. I guess they didn't know that they were already dead.
Well, maybe they die soon after. Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
They're already dead. Okay. Polly, before the Cybermen are all killed, Polly has a discussion with them about their emotions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I made a note, the plot is explained due to a distressed woman, because that has also become something that happens a lot in Doctor Who.
But I think she has the right... Like, she asks the right questions.
Yeah, of course.
To figure out all the information.
But that's what always would happen, is Barbara or Susan would be like, what do you mean, blah, blah, blah.
But I think a lot of that time comes down to a flaw of the villain.
Almost always, yeah.
So this Cyberman is like, they can't stop us anyway, I may as well just tell them everything. Okay, so...
Like a Bond villain in the 60s.
Ooh, yeah, that's Batman.
Yeah, but any time you mention the 60s, it gets played. Every time.
At the start of episode 3, the Doctor collapses.
Yes.
So trivia, Linda Hartnell wasn't feeling very well.
So was he acting? Or they said, hey, we could use this, he's fallen over.
No, they had to do a lot of quick rewriting. So I'll just find it, but... Linda Hartnell wanted to leave due to bad health... William Hartnell did not appear in episode 3 as he had taken ill. So Jerry Davis, scriptwriter, rewrote the scripts to explain the Doctor's absence, so he collapsed. And because they were planning on him to regenerate kind of anyway, they were like, well, this shows that his body's weak.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And he's
going
to need to, like, renew.
Because I did have a question about, is that what happens every time?
They get old and then die.
Not old, but like, do they go, because he said...
It doesn't happen every time. He was like, this body's wearing thin.
Yes.
It happens maybe twice.
Okay.
So it's more... So he's so old that he's just dying of old age.
Okay. But there are other reasons why others have to regenerate.
Yes.
Okay.
He gave his dialogue to other characters, most noticeably Ben. So who knows, Ben takes quite center stage in that third.
Yes, he does.
He's like... And I think it was cleverly written. There's a point later on where he's in that radiation field room and he notices that the Cybermen won't come in there. And he's not. He admits, like, I'm not a scientist, but there's got to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
So he asks the scientists, he's like, what's going on here? And one of them's like, it doesn't matter. And he's like, well, then you shut up because you're not very helpful. And he just directs all his questions at the other one who is helpful.
Yeah.
So he kind of sorts it.
And I could see how that was meant to be worked out by the Doctor.
Yeah, but I reckon the Doctor would, if it was the Doctor, he would have just figured that out.
That's what I'm saying.
But they... I think there was like a clever rewrite there.
Of having Ben talk to the scientists.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that showed like some good acting from him.
Yeah. We have to talk about the bomb, the Z-bomb.
So now there's like a discussion like Thingy, Cutler, is like, my son's up there and he's in trouble.
Yes.
So he's like, I've got a bomb. They've got some decisions to make. And Cutler's a bit blind because he's like, my son's up there. So he wants to blow up Mondas with the Z-bomb, which is a doomsday weapon, apparently, that we will develop in 1986. So the Z-bomb would go up and blow up their planet.
Which would stop the ship that's up there having to deal with being pulled away from its normal flight.
Yeah, you just have to deal with all the debris from a massive explosion.
Oh.
But also, I think they do say they would wait until his orbit's on the other side of Earth.
Right, right.
So then that doesn't cause problems.
So the Earth will shield him.
Yes.
Because the Earth will deal with...
Earth will deal with a lot of that radiation.
And actually the scientists are like, are you mad, man?
And Polly even says, she's like, I've got to convince, like, Barclay to help me because that's one person's life versus, like, millions of lives.
Yeah.
So she's like, we have to do something here. So he wants to do that.
He wants to do it, Matthew, because it will turn the planet into a sun/supernova.
That is scientifically inaccurate. I think I even said to you, I was like, that's not happening.
That's why I bring it up, because why...
So, if you blow up a planet...
Yes.
A planet isn't like a star, generally.
Of course not.
So, it depends on the composition of the planet.
But if it was a twin Earth...
Well, Earth's composition won't supernova. Because we're like molten rock and...
Water.
Well, yes, but our core, the core is...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I think you would get a large explosion, and you'd definitely be very bright, but it wouldn't be a supernova, like a star supernovas.
Do you think they realize later that that was a mistake, because they never talk about it that way again?
Well, it could be that they just didn't know. Also, it's a science fiction show. So it could be possible.
I see.
That fictionally would do that.
Fair, that's fair. And it's actually Polly who comes up with the plan to stop the general sending up this Z-bomb into space. Yeah.
So she's like, Ben is going to go and disrupt that whole situation.
The way the missile launches, or the weapon launches. Yeah.
So he basically goes down like that. He looks like he just rips out a bunch of cables, really.
Yeah.
And that seems to stop it from being able to be shut up.
Because basically the scientist says to Polly, I can't go against the general. He's mad. Like, what am I going to do? He's going to launch it without me, and then I'll be in trouble. And she says, well, to buy time while we wait for the other planet to explode, just pretend to try to launch it and then have it go wrong.
Yes.
So as you said, Ben goes in and rips out some wires.
Now, while Ben's doing that and while this whole thing's happening, Cybermen do turn up.
Yes.
And the soldiers at the base, they've secured some of the weaponry, mm-hmm. and they shoot the arriving Cybermen with them and then take their weapons.
So they're just growing their stockpile of Cybermen weapons.
They're doing well.
Yeah.
Cutler sees Ben messing with the bomb. And takes him back to... He knocks him out. And Ben can't remember if he disrupted everything in time.
And that leads to the tension.
The tension, because a countdown starts.
Yes.
Now, not from 100, our favourite countdown, but from 10.
Like a reasonable... Like a real, reasonable countdown. Person would do.
But the timer comes up on the screen.
As in on our television screens. Yeah. So we're part of the action.
So 10, 9, 8, and Ben's like, I can't remember... And then cut, end. It goes to episode 4.
Cliffhanger. And what's special about episode 4, Matthew?
It's animated because they've lost that episode.
So the one episode in these series of 4 episodes that has the Doctor reanimating, they lost.
Yeah.
Another first lost by the BBC/Disney+.
I don't think Disney Plus did anything.
We blame them for everything now.
Oh, no, you do.
No, the world does.
The Doctor just appears as well. I would have loved to see that in, like, real. For real.
Yeah.
But no, and he seems a bit more with it, so he's obviously, like, got a bit of energy. I guess he probably, like, it's his last episode. So
he wanted to end it well.
I'm going to give it all.
Yeah.
So Cutler is, like, annoyed because the bomb thing didn't go his way. So he's like, I'm going to get you, Doctor. Like, you've disrupted this and your mates. And then he's like, gonna kill him, and the Cyberman kills him.
Because he's like, my son is dead and it's your fault.
You killed my son.
So the Cyberman saved the Doctor.
Yes. And then the Doctor points out to the Cyberman, we've saved you. Yeah. Like, we stopped that bomb from going up and, like, killing you.
So how about we live in peace and harmony together?
The Cybermen are like, no.
But the Doctor was just stalling. All of this, he doesn't really care about them being safe.
No.
He's just waiting for their planet to explode.
Yes, he's just buying time. And the interesting thing is, previously, I think we didn't really mention it, but the Cybermen are like, you're all going to come to Mondas because we're going to convert you into Cybermen.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. So they need to just buy time at this point. So Ben and who's the other one? Ben and Barclay.
Yep.
They find some device that the Cybermen use to communicate with each other. And they kind of like draw them in.
Yeah, they press buttons on it to make it send out a signal. So the Cybermen are like, ooh, we're still in contact. Everything's all good to go.
Yes, pretty much. So we have the bit back and forth with the Cybermen. We kind of talked about before. Ben and a group of scientists are in a radiation room with where the bomb was.
Yep.
And the Cybermen are hanging around outside. And Ben works out that they're vulnerable to radiation. So they manage to kill some Cybermen.
Mm-hmm.
And then make their way back down to the command center. The Cybermen tried to gas them.
Yes.
And one of the, like, Haynes, it's called, I don't think we ever really get to know him, but he's killed. I think he was the one that was like, we're all going to die.
Yeah, he was the other scientist.
Yeah.
The one that Ben said, well, screw you then, I'll talk to this other guy.
Yeah. They get to the control base, and then that's when that communication thing happens.
Right.
And then Mondas just crumples.
Yeah.
And they've then all wasted, the Cybermen, they all crumple at the same time.
They wasted enough time, so the planet literally explodes. And they work out, I think the doctor says, these guys must have been powered by the planet. So when the planet died, they disintegrated.
Ben frees Polly and the doctor from the Cyberman ship.
Yep.
And
because
he's like, it's all right, doctor, it's all over. And the doctor's like, it's not over. Look at me.
And he kind of slowly stumbles back to the TARDIS. He's like, I need to get there now.
And he gets there before then.
Yes.
Somehow.
You know, that's a good point. How did that work?
So I guess he went in and locked it, and then he slumps, he falls to the ground. Now, I guess we also don't know the time frame, because there's lots of fade in and fades out during the camera.
Yeah, that's
true. So it's possible that he got there first, and the blizzard just kind of stop them from getting there.
It could also be because they say to the doctor when he's going to leave, don't you want to say goodbye to everyone? He's like, no, I need to go. So maybe in the fade to black, Ben and Polly go back to say goodbye to everyone else before leaving.
Mm. Regardless, the doctor's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a massive light.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm assuming it was the only way they could figure, how do we change this guy's face? So that basically the white obscures you being able to see his face.
Yep.
The light dims back down and it's a different face. Except in the animation, that is not as clear.
Looks like the same face, doesn't it?
It looks like the same face, but then you showed me the actual footage, which they somehow still have, even though they don't have the episode. And you can see in the actual live footage of people that it is a different face.
Yeah. He is a younger, dark-haired man, it says here.
Not that much younger. He looks pretty old to me.
I think once you see him up and about, he's a bit younger.
Okay.
Got a bit more energy.
Oh, and he's playing a recorder. Oh. You know how I told you I'm going to rate companions and doctors?
He's second.
He's now second. And if that changes, I'll let you know, but I don't think it will.
Do you want to hear about him from Will Hartnell himself?
Yes.
So William Hartnell left Doctor Who due to bad health. But upon leaving, he had said, if there is one man in England who can replace me as the Doctor, it's Patrick Troughton.
Wow, so he got to...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Troughton took over the role of the Doctor when Hartnell regenerated into Troughton. Yeah, we don't need that sentence. The previous sentence covered that. Now, this isn't a spoiler.
Okay.
But Hartnell, this isn't his last time as the Doctor. I think I'm going to leave like a lot of the what happened to him after this until after we watch
his final appearance.
The docu thingy.
Yes.
Oh, and his final appearance. Actually, I'll tell you what he did after that and then I'll give you an update when we see him again.
Okay.
Okay.
So are we now going to watch the documentary before we watch any episodes with the new guy?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And we're going to watch it together.
We can watch it together. Oh. Next weekend again.
Oh.
That sounds good. Would you like some trivia?
Do it.
Because I have some nice trivia.
Finally.
Michael Craze.
Ben.
Found this work difficult, as he had just undergone surgery to remove a bone chip from his nose, during which he suffered a burst blood vessel, which nearly cost him his life, apparently. Jeez.
Why is this nice trivia?
It's about to be nice. And the jabulite? Oh, I've got to work out what that means. What's jabulite? It's what the snow's made out of, it says here. Oh, polystyrene kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the snow was made out of.
Yep.
It irritated his nose badly, apparently. Nonetheless, Craze was undeterred from asking out production assistant Edwina Werner, whose job it was to throw the jabulite into the wind machine that would hit him. And the two subsequently married.
Aww.
Isn't that beautiful?
So they met on the 10th planet.
Yeah, while she was putting polystyrene into like a fan that kept hitting him in the face.
Nice.
The missing episode, animated in 2013, so what we just saw, episode 4, was done in 2013,
mm-hmm.
begins a run of 7 animated reconstructions through to the end of The Power of the Daleks. That was the first animated reconstruction we just saw.
So we've got a bunch coming up.
Yeah. The story originally ended with Ben, the Doctor, Polly and Ben simply leaving in the TARDIS. The regeneration scene would have originally simply seen William Hartnell collapse on the floor of the TARDIS and the cloak covering his face, and then at the start of the next episode, pull the cloak back and he's someone else. But they just felt like that didn't show enough.
No, because I think that would have annoyed people.
Now, would you like to hear about who came up with it?
Go.
No one knows.
Of course.
BBC. So, Innes Lloyd, who we talked about last week, who was like a producer, he was a part of that process, but it's not certain who it was going to be. So they say it either was between Innes Lloyd or Jerry Davis, who was the script editor
mm-hmm.
for this, the story editor, I should say. So between them, they came up with Regeneration, which has kept the show going forever.
Yeah.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah. If there's a few things that we sometimes go, oh, this wasn't so great about the show, they got that one thing definitely right.
Definitely. I'm done.
Rate it.
Like I said, particular place in my heart, and I do think it is a standard Doctor Who story, but done to the best degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to give it an 11. You're not going to give it an 11. You're going to give it like a 7, aren't you?
Well, I think this will be the most different our scores have ever been. I think it was good. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't think it was great. I think the story we just watched last week
was better.
I found it better. But only because I don't have the attachment to it that you do.
I just think maybe it's because of a hindsight kind of thing. Like, I can see the threads that are in this come up again later.
And see, that's why it's good that we have those different perspectives on the show.
Because all the Cybermen stuff here,
yeah,
like, that comes up again. It's like the first time we saw the Daleks.
Mm.
There was still a bit of stuff in that wasn't great, but it was the first time he met the Daleks. And then it was like,
maybe. Yeah, for sure. I'm giving it an 8.
That's not bad. That's a Paul McGann.
I didn't say it was bad.
He's definitely the most glamorous looking Doctor, according to Tom Baker.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you.
If you like the episode, why not share it with all your friends?
All of them.
Don't forget to go to Twitter and get your free Cyberman upgrade.
Yeah, don't forget.
And if you're lucky, they'll even throw in a Cybermat.
Ooh, because that's your name.
No, that's a future thing in the show.
But it's still your name.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
It's reversed the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.